Have you ever noticed that our lives revolve around celebration? I mean, what we're talking about this morning isn't just today, but it's so many things throughout our days, really. I mean, celebrations mark our calendar and how we structure our agendas and schedules, and it's a big deal for a lot of us. I mean, even the first moment of our life is a celebration. Our birth is a celebration, and while sure we were there, we might not remember it, then we move on to the next celebration, and our first big celebration as kids is our birthday. I mean, we get excited about our birthday. This weekend, I got to attend the birthday party of a five-year-old girl, and it was a ridiculously fun time. We got to have a great time, and she was so excited, and her friends were so excited for her, and the parents were excited to be there and get to celebrate their little girl, and this is one of the most important things in the life of a little kid. I mean, it's a big deal what your theme's going to be, who gets to come. That's how you tell a friend that you love them, you're invited to my party. It's how you tell someone they're not one of your friends, you're not coming to my party. I mean, it's a big deal. Celebrations are huge. You want to know what type of gifts you're going to get, and you have a list of what you want for months in advance. But the funny thing is, it doesn't just stop with kids. We continue to celebrate everything we can as adults. We celebrate graduations. We celebrate milestones such as marriage. We celebrate new jobs. We celebrate promotions. We celebrate anything and everything we can. I mean, there is a national day for everything now, whether it's ice cream or cheeseburgers or cell phones or international communication. I don't know what it is, but I promise you there's a celebration, an international day of, for almost everything that you can look at. In fact, if you search international day of, usually it's not just one thing, but there's a whole list of different things, which sort of confuses me how internationally we're celebrating all these things, but we have those lists, and we love it. And then, of course, we have our holidays. And we know what we're celebrating here. It's December 1st, which means it's officially the first day of celebrating Christmas. For some, I know, it starts as soon as Memorial Day or Veterans Day in America. You know, all those kind of things. We celebrate after Remembrance Day here in Canada. That's the big deal. But we get into it, and we love to celebrate it. And for us, Christmas is a whole month-long celebration. You can see, even this week, we started decorating. We've been working for months on planning what's going to happen on December 22nd and at our Christmas Eve services. And it's a big deal. And you can't go anywhere now without Christmas being upon you, can you? I mean, you can't walk into a store, you can't go driving down the road without passing some house that has a light or something in the window. I mean, it is just absolutely everywhere, and it's just a season of joy for most people. I mean, it's something that we set parties around, family get-togethers. We have special food that we like to eat. We have gift giving and so many more things, because celebration is one of the things we love to do, because it's a big part of how we structure everything. And I think the root of that is actually that our God is a God of celebration. I believe that God has actually hardwired us to crave celebrating things. And so this morning, I want us to think about this theme of celebration. Of course, even from the very beginning of Christmas, there has been this message to celebrate. With the arrival of Jesus on earth, we read a story of celebration. When the angels showed up to tell the shepherds in the field that there was a baby born who was going to be a savior, they said this. They said, the first angel says, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Jesus' presence on earth brought about joy, which is ultimately the heart of celebration. When we're celebrating something, what we're doing is we're taking something we're joyful about and expressing it. We're showing other people that thing that we are just so excited about that we can't contain, and we express ourselves in a whole bunch of different ways. And in fact, we've devised all these different aspects and elements, whether it's food or parties or gift giving, all as card writing, all as means of expressing the joy that we have down inside. And this is why Christmas is such a big celebration for us. It's this idea that we are celebrating the joy that comes from Jesus' presence on earth. And we want to stretch that out as long as possible. But this morning, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time in the Christmas story. I just want that for us to be the starting point. Okay, so we have this joy of Christmas. What are we going to do with it? Now, it might be hard to remember because of all the stuff that's been going on in your life and around the church and stuff right now, but we just finished a 12-week series called Grow Deeper. And in that series, what we did is we said, hey, we're going to focus on 6 things that we think are essential to discipleship, and then 6 spiritual disciplines or practices that we're going to engage with in order to grow closer to God, to experience Him more, and to foster our spiritual development. And why I'm bringing these 2 things together today, as much as they seem disjointed, is because Christmas is one of the foundational reasons for another spiritual discipline that I want to talk about today. And that's the spiritual discipline of celebration. Have you ever thought about celebration as a discipline? I got to be honest, I never have. As we started to go through our material together as a staff and as a board and working with our fellowship denomination, we started to ask ourselves, what are things that disciples do that end up fostering our spiritual lives? What are the things that disciples do to express what God has done to them to other people, to lead other people to know about Jesus? And as we started to dig into all this, one of the things that came to light through Scripture and through the writings of many sort of Christian giants in the spiritual realm is they said, we need to celebrate. And that really struck me because I didn't think about that. I thought of sort of the main basics, right? We have prayer, we have reading our Bibles, we have confession, we have fasting, some of the ones that we see very broadly, but we don't often think, or at least I didn't often think about celebration as being a part of that until I really started to comb through Scripture and see how God structured so much for the people of Israel and then how the early church structured so much around the idea of celebrating God, who He is, and what He did. And it's actually a really important thing. Richard Foster, in his book, The Celebration of Discipline, which you can get right off the bat, right? The book, Celebration of Discipline, wants to ground people in the understanding that celebration is an important thing. And he wrote this. He said, celebration is central to all the spiritual disciplines. Without a joyful spirit of festivity, the disciplines become dull, death-breathing tools in the hand of modern Pharisees. He goes on and says, joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, often I am inclined to think that joy is the motor that keeps everything else going. Without joyous celebration to infuse the other disciplines, we will sooner or later abandon them. And he says, joy produces energy, and joy makes us strong. Have you ever thought about what motivates you for doing a lot of the things you do in your life? It's probably that it brings you some level of joy. And usually the things that you do in life that don't bring you joy, you try to get rid of them as quickly as possible. You go, well, this doesn't make me feel good. This doesn't bring any wonderful feelings up inside of me. This doesn't seem to contribute to my overall well-being and happiness. Well, I'm going to get rid of it if I can. I mean, there's some things we got to slog through, but the point that he's trying to make here is the thing that's going to keep us going is joy. And one of the ways that we cultivate joy is through celebration. Just as much as celebration is the fact that we take our joy and express it, the more that we express our joy, the more joy that comes to us. They say that the people who celebrate Christmas earliest are overall the happiest people through the rest of the year. Yeah, that speaks to some people. My house, we've been on it since Remembrance Day, and we love it. We get so fired up about it. But this joy is what it's all about, and it starts to cultivate. And so we want to look at this spiritual discipline of celebration as a means of cultivating joy and expressing joy. Why? Because of who God is and what he did. And that's why I wanted to start this on December 1st, of looking at this spiritual discipline, because Christmas marks for us an indication of the thing that we should be most thankful for. And that's what Jesus came to earth to accomplish. I love Christmas and I love Easter. My two favorite holidays put together would be the best. Like, I wish we could just go from one to the other, because that's the big picture. That's the message of what we're really celebrating. We're celebrating that Jesus showed up as God in the flesh on earth as a baby in order to grow up as fully God, fully man, as someone who could take on the sin and the brokenness of the world by going to the cross to pay a penalty for us. That's an incredible thing to allow to grow inside of you, to realize that all the sin, all the brokenness that you bring to this world was dealt with by the author of life, literally the creator of the universe, the judge who had the opportunity to choose to give you the wrath and punishment that you deserve for that sin and brokenness. But instead, what he did is he said, I'm also a good father, and I'm going to come in, and I'm going to send my son to die, and then I'm going to reconcile you to me through that in order that I can adopt you as sons and daughters into my perfect and good family. If that doesn't bring us joy, I don't know what possibly can. I mean, that is just so incredible to me that God has done all of that through Jesus. And then he didn't even stop there, but then he says, I'm going to live within you as the Holy Spirit to continue to work in your life. We got a lot to be joyful about as followers of Jesus. And we can read scripture that speaks to this. We can talk about it. We can sing about it. And that is what we're going to do. But I want to be real for a minute and recognize the fact that there's some of us here this morning and the joy's just not here. There's some of us who are going to go through this season. And, you know, we come to church. We go to the family events if we have them. We struggle through, and in fact, that's just the status of our life, and we don't feel joy. And I want to address this not as a criticism of you, because I think there's many seasons of life, both at Christmas or all through the year, where it's very difficult to come by this sense of joy, where life can just be overwhelming and hard and feel dark. But I want you to know that there is hope, that there's actually an opportunity for you to cultivate joy within your life. It won't necessarily come in an instant. It's not just going to suddenly be flashed there. I'm all full of every moment of joy. It's not saying that God can't do that, because in some instances he does. But there is a way that we can work towards this. So how do we find it? How do we find joy? This is something that I've worked on in different times of my life where I've said, you know what? I'm not in the joyful state that I was before. And I've said, well, how do I get it? Like, where did it go? How does it come back? And as I've gone to look through different ways of cultivating that joy, I realize that it has come down to meditation and to obedience. Now, those aren't very enticing words, are they? You're not like, ooh, Kyle, you're getting me excited here. I'm going to get joy. I got to meditate and be obedient. Yes! No, chances are you go, that sounds like a lot of work, and I don't really have the joy in me to look forward to that work. Now, that's okay. That's okay. But while we are in that place, I want to tell you that Jesus himself has given a promise about these things. Let's look at the first one of obedience. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus said this. He said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. There's an understanding what he has to say to us and then obeying it, living it out. And that living out our faith and what the word of God teaches us has a result, which is change that occurs within our life, a transformation that happens. When you look at the life of a person who just comes to know Jesus, what do you often see in them? You see a lot of enthusiasm, you see excitement, and you see a great deal of joy about what has gone on in their life. And the reason the joy is there is because of life change. Life change leads to joy. But after we've gone through that initial transformation, it starts to become sort of the day-to-day. It just is. This is my new status. And we celebrate that a little bit, but not to a place that brings us a lot of joy. And so Jesus tells us that there is more change and transformation to be had, but in order to accomplish it, you actually have to take what I say to you and live it out. It's not instantaneous, but the more we follow the commands and direction of Jesus and all the writers who brought together God's word for us, we begin to see our lives look a little bit different. And it doesn't happen just tomorrow or the next week, but this happens for over the course of years. What's amazing to me is how many folks who I know who have been Christians for a long time and they've been obedient to him for a long time and how they have the most joy. They have a lot of trials. They have a lot of suffering that they've endured. They've gone through so many different things, but they're still able to say, you know what, I've got joy. But they recognize that their joy came from the Lord and the pursuit of following him. And so this is why we've done this series. This is why we focused on Grow Deeper this fall, is because we believe that you have the opportunity to grow in joy of knowing who God is. And as we read in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." We believe that as you cultivate these habits of following after God, you will begin to see the change, and that will strengthen you. Not because it changes you physically to make you stronger, but because you become a person who recognizes the power and strength of God within you. So first, we are obedient. And then the second thing that goes hand in hand with that at the exact same time is meditation. One of the things that I've recognized in my life in seasons where I've lost a lot of joy is that I need to do three things. And the three things are that I need to meditate on Scripture, that I need to meditate on my personal situation, and then I need to bring it all before God. This is, of course, based on what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippians. Now, if you need some joy, go to the book of Philippians. It's a book all about joy. Paul writes about this incredible stuff that happens and that he wants us to be a part of. And the passage I'm going to read in just a second is probably the most famous passage about joy in all of Scripture. But before we get there, I want you to think about the guy who wrote this. Paul is a man who has been a part of murdering people and seeing people murdered. Paul is a guy who's had a radical conversion experience where he went from being against God to knowing God. And then in pursuit of what God has called him to do, he has been shipwrecked. He's floated for days and nights at sea by himself. He's been beaten. He's been tortured. He's been thrown in prison countless times and been mocked all the way through all of this. And here's his advice to us. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's an incredible thing for a man like Paul to be able to write. But to summarize it, what does he say? He says, if we are people of God, if we have experienced what God has done in our lives, then we should celebrate. We should rejoice in everything. And then we shouldn't let our worries and the other things bog us down, but instead we can go to God with prayer and thanksgiving, and we can bring everything to Him. And what we do over and above that is we focus on the good and pure things, the lovely things of God. And that brings us back to more joy. And so this is what I do. When I'm looking for joy in different times, the first thing I do is I go to Scripture. I look for the wonderful things of God. You can go to any book of the Bible to find where God is at work, but one of the things perhaps you might like to do is go to one of the Gospels. As we're in Christmas season, it tells the whole story from the birth to the death to the resurrection of Jesus. If you're looking for joy, read the story that has unfolded for you. Read what God has done. Start to focus on that. Meditate on it. Allow it to sink in deep that you know who you were, but God did that all anyways. This brings me to an incredible place of thankfulness because I end up then meditating on my personal situation. I don't mean thinking about what's going well and what's not going well in my life. What I end up meaning by that is that I am focusing on what God has done in me, what God has forgiven me for, how far He's brought me since I first knew Him, how He's continuing to work through me. All of these things I start to think about, and it just overwhelms me with how good God is. This brings thankfulness, which leads to joy. It's incredible. Like when I think about everything that I have ever done wrong, when I think about every terrible thought that I've ever had, I think to myself, okay, if I brought that to church on Sunday and just shared that for the message, we would clear this church out real quick. Like y'all would be like, nope, we're going over somewhere else, right? Because it would be horrifying, because it is horrifying. But as much as God has the right to, as a pure and holy God, say, I'm going to distance myself from that because of how wretched you are. He says, no. I have that right, but instead I'm going to draw closer to you. I'm going to love you through it. I sent my son Jesus to bring you into my arms through this all. And in that I start to get this sense of joy that wells up deep down inside of me. And then I have this wonderful relationship with God, and now I get to go to Him. I can think about all the things that make me anxious, all the things that frustrate me, all the things that we're struggling with, and I can set those aside and just go to God and have a conversation with Him. And above anything else, any of my other worries, I can say, thank you for this, because this is the most important thing above all else. And that's the start for me of celebration. And as I said, the wonderful thing about how God's hardwired us is the more we celebrate, the more joy that wells up in us, the more we want to celebrate, and it ends up in this positive feedback loop. I mean, look at your life. Look at the times when you have started to focus on the good things happening. Well, when you see one good thing, suddenly you're able to see the next good thing. Suddenly you're able to see the next good thing. Our minds work this way. Psychologists have actually researched it. The more we focus on one area of our life, the more we notice it. Think about a car. You buy a new car. You've never seen that car before in your life. It's the most beautiful car. You're going to be the only one to own it. Drive down the street, you see 27 of them. dang, everyone has this. I'm never going to find this car in the parking lot. Think about when you start to think negatively in your life. Oh, man, this is really going terrible. Oh, this is just the pits. Well, then suddenly you get to work and, oh, look at everything that's going on wrong here. Then you get home and you're like, man, this sucks. And then you just keep going and suddenly you get in this negative loop of focusing on things. Well, as much as that is our reality, because it's easy to slip into that, this is why this is a discipline. When we focus and choose to look at the good things, the wonderful things, to start with celebrating God, it allows us to open up our eyes and our hearts and our minds to see the good things, and suddenly we're able to pick up on all those wonderful things. We start to celebrate Christmas in the middle of November, and suddenly we're able to see all the good things that are coming our way, and how we get to spend time with family, and how we get to spend time with friends, and hopefully, more importantly, how we get to celebrate the God who loves us and has done so much more than we could ever ask or imagine. This is a discipline, though. This is a discipline. You want joy in your life, it's not just going to suddenly be dropped in your lap. You have to set aside the time to think about it, to pursue after it. And then, as God promises, He will deliver it. So start to cultivate joy in your life, and then begin to express it. Now, some of us, we're not good celebrators. You sit here and you think, well, I got a lot to be thankful for. I got to be a lot to be joyous of. But, like, how do I let that out? Like, what does this look like? Because I'm just not a naturally expressive person, perhaps. Well, then for you, I would love to present to you Psalm 98. Psalm 98 is one of my favorite psalms because it's a psalm of celebration. I'm going to read it for you here. It says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our Lord, of our God. So shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing. With trumpets and the blasts of a ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity." You want to know how to celebrate? Well, one of the ways you celebrate is through singing. We sing at every celebration, don't we? Like even birthdays. We sing happy birthday. We're made to sing and then celebrate through song. It's actually, as much as you might wonder how we end up designing what we do here at a church, one of the reasons we sing is because this is our expression of celebration. That's why we spend almost half of our time of what we do here on a Sunday morning, because we want to celebrate what God's doing with our voices. Do you sing? Not only on a Sunday. Do intentionally take the time to sing songs and praises about God. Now, for you, this might look like singing along with worship music. For others, it doesn't even have to be a song, but it can be using your voice to share and celebrate who God is. Using your words to speak the heart that you have. Sing a song with your voice. Share with others the wonderful things that God has done for you. Tell them about it. Express it all to them. And not only does that benefit them, but it benefits you because now you're focusing on that joy and more joy is going to be cultivated within your life. Using our voice is one way to allow the joy that's inside to come out. Another thing that we can see in celebration is movement. Like, think about a kid's party. When you know a kid's party is happening because of the noise. That's the first indication. You know, as we walked up to the birthday party yesterday, you can hear the noise outside. Because that's how kids express themselves, their voice. They scream, they shout, they get excited, they use their voices. But the other thing they do that coincides with that is what? They move. Like, you do not ever see a happy kid sitting still. Like, a kid who's really, truly joyful, they express themselves. They dance, they jump, they clap. This is so exciting, I can't hold on to it. Mom, Dad, look at this. As a parent, I can tell you it's one of the most wonderful things to watch my kids do. When they're genuinely happy, my girls love to have dance parties. And I love to just sit there and watch them and celebrate the joy that they have as they dance in front of me. Why on earth would I think that that's just me loving my child and not my heavenly Father loving me? This is something that's naturally ingrained in our society, but somehow we've lost it within the church. We can go watch a football game, and what do? Touchdown! Favorite song plays at a concert, lighter! Cheering somebody on, go, 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 go! We go to a wedding. I'm going to dance. This is the one occasion I'm going to do it because I love these people getting married. Yeah, when we come to church, back of the chair. Now we might sing. That toe ain't tapping. What is someone going to think? My hands aren't rising. Oh, I spilled my water. But that's like, why? Why is there that disconnect? We're all here gathered with people who have been transformed by Jesus. This should be the most joyous place on earth. If there's anywhere to celebrate and to use your voice and move your body, it should be in God's house because He loves to watch it. Maybe that's how you need to learn to celebrate. It's not just with your voice, but with your body. Another way to celebrate is by giving gifts. We know this, right? Like, you don't go to any celebration in society without bringing a gift. Someone gets a new house, housewarming gift. Someone's having a birthday, birthday. Someone's having a wedding, wedding gift, right? Like, that's how we're hardwired, because God has done this wonderful thing through gift giving in that it benefits both the giver and the receiver. When you celebrate someone and you bring the gift to them, they feel appreciated. They know that they are loved. They have this special attachment that now comes through that thing, which isn't really about that thing. It's about your relationship. But as the giver, then you get to go, wow, that person knows that I love them. I got to take time and money and effort to get this thing ready and give it to them, and now they know. And it's this beautiful exchange that we get to be a part of, which is about so much more than the gift. This is one of the ways we worship. This right here is one of the ways we worship. We bring gifts to give. We invest in things. How can you do that? What are different gifts that I could bring to God to thank Him, to show Him that I care about Him? There's financial gifts, like through the offering. There's the gift of your presence, of being the places where He is moving and getting involved in it and serving in areas where God is moving so that your presence and your efforts are shown. How can we cultivate celebration? We just begin to do the things that come naturally to us. We use our voices, we use our bodies, and we give gifts. So what's your next step? How are you going to celebrate? If you're here this morning and you got no joy, you got to cultivate it. You got to start in on that meditation of bringing scripture back and forth to your mind and to your heart. You got to let it sink in. You got to think about what God has already done in your life and visit that over and over again and allow that to speak to you. You got to talk to God. Bring everything. Paul says, bring every petition and all of your thanksgiving to God. Start to do that. It's going to bring you joy. And then as that joy starts to arrive, as it starts to well up inside of you, think about how you can celebrate who God is and the wonder of Him by using your voice. Maybe you need to sing a little bit more. Maybe you need to share your story of what God is doing in and through you with your voice to other people who need to know Him. Start to use your body. Consider, I mean, as silly as it sounds, this is some way that gets us into worship. I grew up in a church just like this one, where, you know, there were people who expressed themselves through raising hands sometimes and did a little bit. And I don't say this to criticize, but what I've realized is that I ended up in this place where someone ended up teaching at a church I was at about how our physical posture can change our heart posture of worship. And it was really awkward and uncomfortable at first to raise those hands and to feel okay to, you know, sway to the music and that sort of thing, because it wasn't what I grew up in. And that's not to condemn what I grew up in, but it was for me to come into this place of knowing that I can actually worship and celebrate God and be connected to Him through more than just the words I'm singing, but through my physical actions. And that brings me great joy now. So maybe that's something you can do. And then maybe consider giving a gift. Whether it's financially contributing to what we're doing and saying, God, I'm celebrating what you're doing and I want to invest into hearing more of those stories to cultivate more things to be joyful for. Or maybe it's saying, I need to serve. I need to give myself as a gift in order to be a part of what God's doing and thank Him for what He has done in me. Let's pray. Father, I am just so thankful for what we get to celebrate. God, thank you that you are willing to look on us not out of the wrath and judgment that we deserve because of our sin and brokenness, but instead that you look at us with the love and mercy and grace that you have, and Lord, choosing to send your own Son to die for us. Jesus, thank you for your willingness to go to the cross, to take on everything so that we wouldn't have to experience the full weight of our sin and brokenness, but instead that we could be adopted into your good and perfect family. Holy Spirit, thank you for continuing to dwell within us. That you don't abandon us, God, but you stay with us and you continue to speak your truth to us. So as we approach your word, we can meditate on it and learn to follow it in a way that will cultivate more joy within our lives. God, that's my prayer for the people here this morning, is that we would each experience more of that joy, that we would focus on what matters, which is you, and would that continue to grow, and Lord, would we feel free to celebrate it in this building, out in our community, would we continue to share the wonder of who you are so that more people can be in, so that more people can know the joy that comes only from you. Lord, when it's difficult, would we look at the joy that we have, and would we remember that that is our strength that we can live out of? And would we live boldly? Would we be people who would be marked by your joy so that everywhere we go, that we would be seen as a group of people who have something that is not commonly found, but instead that is found only in you, and would people long for that and receive it? And so, God, as we turn to you and sing in these next couple of songs, Lord, as we celebrate who you are, what Christmas is all about, how we are made alive in you, Lord God, we pray that you would move in our hearts and our minds right now. And would we celebrate you well? And we pray this all in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen.